Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local. It's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. I'm going to rechange the intro and your name will be in it. Will that be good? Would that change your life, Horvath, in many ways? If your name is in the big guy voice open?
No, I don't want it in there. No. That wouldn't change my life. I don't really need my life changed. I just want everything to go. I just want the world to go back to normal, man. That's all I want.
Yeah, me too.
You know? That's all I want.
Me too.
I want to be at Lambeau Field. I was like so.
Me too.
You know, I was like, you know what? This is going to be. Just yesterday, I said, what a weekend we're going to have.
What a weekend.
I already ordered the UFC pay-per-view on Saturday night.
Big mistake.
Why?
This is because there's real sports on now. You got BYU Saturday night, son. You got late night college football this weekend.
Multiple TVs, bruh. So I was excited because Packers Saints Sunday, does it get better?
It does not.
WWE pay-per-view?
No, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso.
UFC, tons of college football, and I was going to get to watch my two favorite football teams in one weekend with the Packers on Sunday night and my Notre Dame Fighting Irish taking on Wake Forest.
Yeah, that game was postponed. What happened?
A bunch of guys got COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I believe it was 7, and then it was 13. Good thing is it'll be 13, then it'll be down to 9, and then pretty much 0. You know, this thing is amazing. It's super amazing. It's just amazing, and it's so amazing. It's so amazing, it'll just be gone. But my favorite team, unfortunately, unable to go this weekend. They caught the old COVID-19. Well, I am hearing some reports.
The good thing is that the heat will kill it.
I heard some reports, though, that like a lot of the players are pissed. Because I guess that everybody that tested positive, like none of these guys even get any run.
Oh, really?
Like they're not even on special teams. But, you know, you hear these reports. They're making the right decision. I think that it's the right thing to do. But now it's like, when does Notre Dame play again? Because is it just 1 week? Because we think, you know, if you got multiple cases, you know, you don't play that game or you postpone that game and then you figure that out as you go along. But we saw, you and I were getting excited for a college football game that was already a postponed makeup game this weekend that was then canceled again. And I didn't even know about it until you texted me. Which one was that?
That was Houston-Baylor.
Yeah. Yeah, we were looking forward to that.
We were.
And Houston wasn't even scheduled to originally play Baylor, though.
Houston was supposed to play Memphis last Friday. They put together normally these games take 15 years to plan. They planned it in 18 hours, and then it got postponed. I want to ask you more about Notre Dame a little later, but we did promise the people to hear from David Bakhtiari, and I will not back down from my promise, basically because David Bakhtiari said the same stuff that I've been saying about the salary cap. We're all worried about the salary cap, right? Like, the Packers have all these guys that they need to sign, or at least you would want them to sign. Aaron Jones is going to be a free agent. Jamal Williams is going to be a free agent. Corey Linsley is going to be a free agent. Lane Taylor, who's hurt now, he's going to be a free agent. David Bakhtiari is going to be a free agent. Kevin King is going to be a free agent. You can't really afford to sign all these guys. At least that's what we always thought, because the salary cap. But in the NFL, where these contracts aren't guaranteed, you can work around the salary cap like the Chiefs did And David Bakhtiari is well aware of what the Chiefs did.
I'm assuming the Packers haven't come to either one of you with that proposition of, look, we want to get you both signed, but we can't combine go over a certain number.
Uh-oh. This is a lot to
unpack. He has a lot to unpack.
You know, I'll answer this with a situation. The Kansas City Chiefs had, what, $100,000 in cap space? And
exactly.
They signed three. Yep. They restructured one, signed three guys to big year deals that are
all over
$15 million, $20 million, $45 million. You know, so a lot of excuses can be thrown around and misinformation. The point is, at the end of the day, if you want to sign a guy and you want to keep him, you can do it. People just use the cap as an excuse. That's to what they can hide behind, but they can get it done. You can go and restructure with whoever and get money to get pulled from wherever and, you know, push back the potential cap hit to later years. You can get it done if you want to get it done. That's what I know about the longer I've been around and kind of understanding how, you know, cap situations work. I mean, how healthy is that? I mean, it's certain teams, you know, have different philosophies on that. But look, that's why for me, at the end of the day, if they want to get it done, they can get it done.
I agree. They can figure it out a way. Russ Ball's job is to figure that out. We know the name Russ Ball because he is so good in the front office of figuring it out. We should not know the guy in Lambeau's front office that does contracts. We shouldn't know his name. Who cares? But we know his name because he's that good at his job. And there's a lot of guys that are up. You can't not bring Bakhtiari back. You can't not bring Aaron Jones back. But you got to figure it out because guess who's a free agent after next year? Davante Adams. So they've got a lot of work to do. And what's happening with the Packers is they're kind of becoming top heavy when it comes to the contracts. If you're going to do that, you have to avoid the middle-of-the-road contracts. Like, if you're going to do that, you have to avoid the $5 to $6 million contracts. Like a Dean Lowry, what good is it that he's making $6 million next year and then $7 million the year after? You know, that's no good. That throws a wrench into the whole thing. I just think there's a lot of top-level guys on this team, but there's also a lot of filler kind of guys that are performing. And now it's the balance of making sure that everybody that is deserving of getting paid sticks around, because you cannot let David Bakhtiari go. You cannot let Aaron Jones go. You certainly can't let Davante Adams go. And that's maybe why they did draft Jordan Love. He's very cheap compared to other quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers is making, you know, he's $36 million against the cap next year, $39 million the year after that. So they're hoping that there's a way out of that so that they can afford some of these other guys. But you can't get rid of Aaron Rodgers at this point. So the Packers certainly are in some trouble. But then, as David Bakhtiari said, so were the Chiefs, and they figured it out. So, you know, as a sports radio guy, I love to try to put myself in these offices. I'll break down the Bucks with you, and I'll say, here's what they need to do. Here's the room they have to do it. With the Brewers, it's not my money. I'll advocate they spend all day. With the Packers, there's not guaranteed contracts, and guys restructure all the time, like Bakhtiari said. I just need the Packers to figure it out. Figure out a way to get it done, because you cannot let these guys walk. Bakhtiari being one of them. If he's going to command $22 million, he's making $14 now. Apparently, him and the Packers were $4 million per year off, according to Rob Demoski. Thank you guys that let me know that, because he, for some reason, has blocked me.
Yeah.
Despite not having any interaction. And shout out to the Highbury, the soccer pub.
They unblock you?
They did. They didn't realize that they had blocked me. I brought it up once on the radio, and it got back to the guys down there, and they have unblocked me on Twitter. Not that it was keeping me from going to the establishment. It is a very fine establishment. I watched a lot of the World Cup there last time, them and Three Lions.
Yeah, you know what sucks?
Nomad.
I'm like...
And Moran's Pub.
I've only been there once because I'm like newer to the area, and I loved it. They were doing something when soccer came back. Did you see where they were like giving out golden tickets to go watch the games by yourself?
Yes.
What a cool establishment.
Very cool.
I hope they follow me on Twitter. Because they don't follow me on Twitter.
Oh.
Windows Select does, thank God.
Thank God.
I just want all my favorite businesses to follow me and become one. I got Golden Chicken and Hal's Corners, my boys over there. That's what I'm ordering for dinner tonight, by the way.
Oh, you are?
I know you were worried about it.
I was.
Yeah, I don't have time to cook tonight. I didn't do it. You know, I'm a house man now.
Yes.
After social studies.
Because you're teaching your kid after the show.
We'll have a little chicken tonight. Little victory. We didn't get our victory chicken. That's something I'm bringing to the station, by the way, now. Oh, every Monday after a Packers victory, we will eat fried chicken in this station on this show. Early in the, it's going to be early. I hope you're okay with that. Victory Chicken Mondays.
I'll eat chicken anytime.
Okay. It's done.
Even if it's not really chicken, but it's you can kind of call it chicken.
Like chicken strips.
It's chicken, I'll eat it.
Like chicken, do you eat chicken nuggets?
Love chicken nuggets. Me too. I just got the spicy nuggets.
Me too, but I did a little research on chicken nuggets because my kid's eating them every day and I don't think I could ever eat them again.
Don't care. There's chicken in the name. I will eat it.
All right. Victory Chicken Monday has been solved. On with the chlorophyll.
So you are bringing in chicken on Monday if they win?
Every Monday that they win, we get, I don't know that I'm bringing it in. We'll get it figured out. I'll talk to my people.
Okay.
My people will talk to some other people. I got my agent.
It's a late night game Sunday. I want some chicken here on Monday because Packers are going to beat the Saints.
Yeah, we'll have it. We'll have it. Every Monday or Tuesday, let's say. Do they have any Monday night games? I don't even remember, man.
They've got one the following week against Atlanta.
Atlanta, yes. Monday night game. Yes. Yes. So that'll be a victory chicken Tuesday.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I'm excited for that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I am very eager for it.
Have I ever promised you something that didn't end up coming happen? That didn't happen?
No, you have not.
Thank you. I keep my promises. I don't promise things that I can't come. This is like what I tell my kid. You know, my kid wants virtual reality for Christmas. I told him that real human beings don't have virtual reality. This isn't the movie Lawnmower Man. So I give him real. I'm like, but I could get you this new Mario game. All right. Win-win. Again, I'm with Bakhtiari. Are we going to pay him or no?
I kind of feel like we're not.
I like that he uses the Chiefs as an example because literally yesterday that was the example I used. They make Patrick Mahomes the highest paid quarterback. They still bring back all their pass
rushers. Well,
I'm
only playing it because it was the example I used.
Yeah, we both did. And exactly, like if you could find ways to pay these guys. You know,
I really think I've been on the top of my game lately with like takes and how smart I am.
Very humble, too.
Yeah.
You got to add that to your adjectives.
I am the most humble guy in radio.
Wacky, jovial, humble. Here, I'll redo it for you.
I feel like I'm in a good spot right now. I feel like I'm really in tune with sport.
In like when it comes to sports, man, I've never been more in my like I watch.
Now I'm
everything.
Losing my ass on like DraftKings and stuff.
I've been killing again. I had the Nuggets last night. I didn't even mess around with the spread. I went on the money line +220. Hit it. I did lose one bet last night. I also had the Brewers. Against Sonny Gray. But I played Jokic over 24 points. He had 22 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Didn't score again. Mm. It was amazing. Best player on the team. Doesn't score. Nobody cares about my bets. Nobody cares about my fantasy football team. They do care about David Bakhtiari. Packers have to pay him. I'm sick of hearing don't pay running backs when Aaron Jones is more than just a running back. He could catch 80 balls if you want him to. He could rush for 1,200 yards. He's the NFL's leading rusher. I think he's a weapon. And I hate that we always are like, don't pay running backs. There's a couple bad examples of that, of course. I wouldn't have paid Leonard Fournette. Todd Gurley, paying him was a mistake, obviously, by the Rams because he didn't know he was going to develop arthritis in his right knee the following season. But I just hate it because like these guys don't have guaranteed contracts. Running backs only really get one big deal. Their playing career is so short. Their shelf life is so short. And they're modern-day gladiators. They go out there, they beat themselves up every Sunday for our entertainment, and I think a guy like Aaron Jones should be rewarded for that because he's entertained me the last 2 years.
Well, we're going to talk about this from the running back perspective, too, because if there's this decision between Jones and Bakhtiari, I mean, that's Sophie's choice right there. I don't know what you do. And we'll hear more from David Bakhtiari. You guys could chime in. The future of the Packers depends a lot on what they're going to do with re-signing some of these guys. Aaron Jones, Corey Linsley, David Bakhtiari, Kevin King, is there anybody that you're ready to move on from and who must they sign? That'll entice the phones. 799-1250 on The Fan. 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Tonight, I'm listening 2 hours on the radio.com app, national broadcast, celebrities, real people. It's a good place to listen. Mental health awareness. We've taken a lot of great strides in that regard, you know, a lot of times feelings, you can't like, you break your leg, you can see that. Oh, it must hurt. With emotions and feelings and how you're mentally doing, you can't really see that. So it's been disregarded for a long time. We're taking great strides. We continue to do that tonight, 6 o'clock. I'm listening here on The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, David Bakhtiari on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday. I was listening to that. I've got there's a lot going on at my house. My wife's working from home. My mother-in-law's there a couple of days a week to help out, thank God. My son's, he knows a word. He says a word now. He says car.
Car was his first word?
And he looks out the window and goes, car!
Really?
He like screams it.
That's awesome. Really?
Car!
How do you think that became a deal?
Well, because we always look at the window and go, there's a car, buddy.
Oh,
car,
okay.
Car.
Really?
Car!
Man, that's awesome.
But when I need to listen to the radio, I go upstairs now. I make a nice little warm bath. I light a couple of candles.
I actually really do this, so I hope that you're not being sarcastic.
I sit in the bath.
I'm back in the bath game.
My radio is a plug-in radio, so I plug the radio in and I hold it in the bath, and if I don't like the content of our station, I'm ready to drop that radio right into the bathtub.
Jeez.
See what happens.
Alkaline trio over here.
But yesterday was very good. Dave Bakhtiari, very good on the Wendy's Big Show, previewing the matchup against the Saints.
They fly around. They're a very athletic, fast defense. That's one thing that, you know, my early prep with them, that's one thing you definitely notice. They got good playmakers, you know, from the defense line all the way back to the secondary. And they play hard. So one thing is just going to be, you know, matching their intensity.
How's everybody feeling about the Saints right now? Are you like still scared of them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think going down to the Superdome on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm scared. I mean, yeah, Drew Brees may be finished, and he's only thrown, what, completed two balls over 20 yards. But there's still this, like, they're very good on special teams. You know, I think that they still do have a good defense, despite what we saw against the Raiders and Derek Carr ripping them up.
They looked really good defensively in the first quarter. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, the thing is they have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball that even if Drew Brees isn't on the top of his game, they're going to find ways to scheme their way down the field, you know, whether it be like jet sweeps. We're going to see a lot of Kamara. I'm nervous about Kenny Clark not playing in this ball game because I keep having nightmares about Alvin Kamara going off for like 175 all-purpose yards from the line of scrimmage on Sunday.
I'd say I'm worried about their running attack for sure if I'm going to look at this game. I think Kamara's going to have a nice game, yeah, obviously.
Even if Kenny Clark does play, but...
But I think that Latavius Murray, if they use him, you know, he's going to pound it right down there too. The other weapons, though, without Michael Thomas, their receiving core, Emmanuel Sanders hasn't done much. Some of these, they got a bunch of guys that are like fast. Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris. I feel dumb. I didn't realize they had Ty Montgomery. Did anybody?
Well, like they got a bunch of burners, but the problem is they all run one route down the field, and Drew Brees can't make that throw.
Right. So if he throws it to him and they get yards after the catch, that's how they're going to beat you. But if you're going to, Drew Brees isn't going to throw 40 yards down the field and hit Traquan Smith over our secondary. I don't see that happening.
We know what's going to happen, right? As far as them offensively, they're going to run the football down the Packers' throats, and it's going to be a monster day for Jared Cook, especially across the middle. He is going to, he's not revenge, I guess, but like, you know, Jared Cook, because we're all like, oh man, we haven't had a tight end that we like since Jared Cook. Remember that catch against the Cowboys? That was sweet. Right? Remember JerMichael Finley? And so we do that nonstop with the tight end, so you know he's going to have a big day, and then social media is going to be, why didn't we pay Jared Cook?
No, I don't just feel like Jared Cook's going to have a big day.
Just like, granted, like T.J. Watt's one of the best pass rushers in the league, but Kevin King has been one of the best corners in the league statistically, and if you look at any metric, like he's been a shutdown corner the last 2 years, and we still talk about T.J. Watt. So we'll probably do the same thing with Jared Cook on Sunday. But I do think the Packers win the game.
Which former Packer are you most worried about on Sunday? Is it Jared Cook? Is it Ty Montgomery? Or is it Taysom Hill? 414-799-9999. 41B-782-6648.
Like it.
No, Taysom Hill. Dude, I miss Taysom Hill. I wish we used him. They have overused him.
Yeah, he got a fullback carry on the goal line the other night.
Yeah, every time you see Taysom Hill out there, I'm just like, oh, boy. Even the throw he had in the playoffs was underthrown. Taysom Hill he's not as good to be featured. Isn't he making like $16 million? What are they doing?
If he goes down, does Jameis come into the game or does Taysom Hill?
I'm not even sure Jameis was active last week. Taysom Hill is QB2 right now.
The way that I thought it was going to go down was Jameis, because this is like a learning experience for him. He needs to learn how to learn an NFL defense. A, how to read an NFL defense. He threw 30 picks last year and 30 touchdowns.
Taysom Hill's making $4 million this year, $16 next year.
What did Jameis get?
Like, $2.8 million.
Yeah. See, I thought that the way that they would treat it would be like, if you needed a quarterback, Jameis would be your man, and Taysom would still be the Swiss Army knife kind of guy, where he's your kick returner.
No, they're paying him $16 million because they think Breeze is going to retire after this year, and then Taysom Hill is going to start for them. They plan to start Taysom Hill at quarterback. Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill.
Jameis Winston is the only quarterback that literally from his freshman year in college regressed every single year. He got worse. You notice that, though? Because he wins a national championship his freshman year, and everybody's like, oh, that's the for sure number one pick. Has a disastrous offseason where he gets caught stealing some crab legs, some other things go down. Sophomore year, decent numbers, but throws a lot of picks, and that's when you start worrying about the turnovers. His rookie year, I'll never forget the first game he plays in his career, because the conversation was, who should you take, him or Marcus Mariota? And obviously, you know, Jameis went first, but they played against each other, and Mariota beat him. And I was like, oh, man, Marcus is going to be legit, and Jameis may be a bust. And then he would, like, show flashes where he'd have a four-touchdown game, but then the next week he'd throw six picks. Every year since his freshman year, he got worse, and it's a shame.
Trevor Lawrence?
So he was really, really good his first year, regressed a little bit the first 8 weeks last season because he was just trying to do too much. This season, oh, my God, he's legit. He can make every throw. And what I like about him and what I like about Justin Fields is really what I liked about Justin Herbert. Everybody was telling me that Justin Herbert was going to be a bust, and I didn't understand why people thought that.
He looked good Sunday.
Yeah, maybe the offense. Maybe you look at Oregon quarterbacks, but that's a different offense than when, you know, Dennis Dixon was there. What I like about Herbert, and you could call it kind of corny, is, well, he's big, he's tall, he's strong, he's everything you want in a quarterback. He reminds me a lot of Andrew Luck because he could run the football, he's hard to tackle because he's a big dude. In fact, on his first carry, on his first quarterback scramble, he didn't slide. He initiated the contact, lowered his shoulder, and ran over a defensive back. But so I like the makings of him as a classic drop-back quarterback and that could also get out of the pocket, and he's a big, tall quarterback, big hands, everything that you look for. But also, like, I like what he does off the field as well. He's a leader. He graduated in, like, 3 years. He had a perfect GPA. But he also leaves the country, like, every offseason in the summer to do, like, charity work. And that's why I really like what Trevor Lawrence is doing, not only on the field, but with the NCAA. Whether you think these kids should be playing or not, he was, like, the head of it. You know, maybe Big Ten football isn't playing if Fields isn't leading the charge. So I like what I see from those guys off the field because leadership is so important, man. Look at the guys that have success. You know, Tom Brady, the ultimate leader, Peyton Manning, you know, and then you look at the guys that maybe aren't the best leaders or that kind of just like party in the offseason, Johnny Manziel. I love Baker Mayfield, but yeah, those are the kind of quarterbacks that I'm looking for because that's your franchise right there. You don't want a guy like, you know, Sam Darnold was taking flack last year because he had a disastrous performance, comes back, wins a game, and then after the game, he was out and they like caught him at the bars partying. Like, yeah, they're just kids. They should be able to do that. But for some reason, we judge quarterbacks completely different.
799-1250, David Bakhtiari, if you want to hear the full interview, it is on the radio.com app. It's David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday.
But I think a lot of Packer fans were caught by surprise how well the offensive line is held together.
I think it's just efficiency. You know, when we have a certain play called, you know, I'd love to say it's the offensive line, but I mean, it takes all 11 of us to execute, and all of us are executing at a high level, and I think that's where you're seeing the yards coming up and the points. You know, not to mention, you know, the play calls as well. So I think we've been able to hit our stride kind of early and often, which is what you want, especially as an offense when you start clicking early, and you're just excited that we carry this momentum for a lot longer, you know, throughout the entire season and then obviously into the postseason.
We'll keep looking at this Packers-Saints matchup. Plus, is the NFL being hypocritical? That's always fun. We got an email that I'd like to read regarding that as well. So stick around because I'm going to read an email. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on The Fan. I'm going to tell you right now about Window Select. 262-703-3500. Check them out, windowselect.com. They have the buy one, get one deal on windows. They've extended it again. Buy one, get one on windows. So as you are doing these home remodeling projects and trying to get them done before the winter, Window Select is the place to go to do that because they will help you lower the cost of your heating bills in the winter with the new high-quality windows you're going to get installed. Energy efficient, too. I'm telling you, they have taken so much work and time and experience, and they're pouring it in to try to make sure they have, and they'll tell you, they have the most energy-efficient windows on the market. They even back it with a double lifetime warranty. So if that's something you're looking to do long term, that is the way to go. Window Select, they will completely make your home look like a got a facelift on the outside and then really feel more homey on the inside. You'll see your home in a new light with them, and you'll save a lot of money. I mean, they got the buy one, get one deal on windows. They'll do your doors and siding. They'll do the whole thing outside. They will give you a year before you have to pay them anything. No payments for a full year. Buy one, get one on the windows. And then this week only, free installation. Free installation on the door, siding, and window project. They will get that done for you. Free installation. Let them know that you heard us boys yapping about them in a good way. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. That is WindowSelect.com. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, we continue coming up right here on The Fan.
Sports Flash, right now.
8:30 a.m. from the 105.7
FM. I have just a new and increased love of life. And I've made decisions and changes and habits that put me in a lot better headspace. And there's just a lot of things that have come together in my life over the last few months that have really been enjoyable and reminded me, give me perspective on life and in football to view things through the most positive lens I possibly can. And that's why I'm having so much fun. And it starts with love. And then surround yourself with people that you really enjoy.
What a weirdo. No, I'm just kidding.
All you need is love. That'll be a bumper we make today.
So, I really do like those appearances, though. I'm a little jealous.
Rodgers is on the Pat McAfee show every week. We'll hear a little more after 9 o'clock, but he's like, he'll talk to the media today as he does every Wednesday, and he like sits up straight, and he's like, yeah, you know. But then on McAfee's show, he like leans back, and he just, it's like.
Because they're cool. You know? Yeah. They're not going to like. Hey, my daughter drew a picture of you the other day, Aaron.
Two daughters.
Hey, shout out to Sparky, by the way.
Hmm.
Because you know what? I listen to those David Bakhtiari interviews every week.
Yeah.
And he continues to ask about the contract.
I like it.
Thank God, yes. Because I listen to these Zoom meetings, and it's like, hey, David, what are you having for dinner tonight? Oh, hey, Brian, when you drafted Jordan Love, what kind of beer did you have in your refrigerator? That's the Packers reporters. So at least Sparky and the boys from The Big Show are trying to give us like things that we care about, like David Bakhtiari talking about, is he going to get paid, you know, and that's actually interesting stuff.
Let me say this, because this is the problem with being in the media and then also getting the access, because if you get the access, you start to like, well, you don't want to make these guys mad.
And yeah, because then you won't get anything.
And then you think like, okay, does this guy like me? Are we friends?
See, I don't think like that. I'm like.
But if you don't go there ever, you can be like, hey, what the hell?
I'm like Sparky. Like, I got the Sparky in me. Like, I want my answers. And that's why, you know, maybe I think I should be a reporter more. Like, I watch these press conferences. I watch now these and listen to these Zoom press conferences. And I'm like, nothing I want answered is ever asked. With the Brewers, that's a bad example. I think that Adam's awesome and always gets the most out of Craig. But with the Packers, man, it's like, I get it. Like, we always, like, they look for, like, these cute stories. You know, like, I love the Smith brothers, don't get me wrong. But I also want to know, like, where the hell has Preston been the last 2 weeks?
Well, Packers media is bigger, too, because then you only have so much time for questions. And more of the news markets show up, and they're trying to do news stories.
Which I hate. Yeah.
So then you'll get like, hey, one question will be, hey, on the 3-4 there, Preston's not getting the same kind of pressure that he used to. Is that a scheme thing?
Why is Preston dropping back in coverage is what I want to ask.
And then the next question will be, so Lambeau Field, it's got, have you did a Lambeau leap? Was that pretty fun?
Aaron, Melissa Etheridge is playing at Lambeau Field again week 6 for the 15th consecutive year. What's your favorite song and why is it Come to My Window? Like, I want some football guy questions. So shout out to Sparky for trying to get the information that we're all looking for.
Yeah, I like it too. I got an email here at the Wendy's email inbox.
Oh no.
Live at 1057fmthefan.com. Let me just pull this up. This one is from Mark.
Oh boy.
He
Vikings
says,
fan.
Well, don't assume it's the same Mark that we've heard from before. Don't assume that.
You're right. It's a very common name. There's plenty of Marks out there.
Yeah. He says, hey, guys, love the show. Are you going to be on the huddle this week again? I really enjoyed it last time. As a matter of fact, we are not. It is a surprise reunion. I don't know what I can say because we've already said who's on the huddle.
I was going to say it's a surprise, but didn't Joe announce it already?
But now the promo says it's a surprise.
Kind of like this is why I didn't like the decision from LeBron James, because like we sat around for him to make the decision, but a day later or earlier, it was leaked that he was going to Miami. So that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you can't tell me like special guest referee, but then the day before announce Shane McMahon's the special guest referee and then just bring him out. That's not a surprise, but what do I know? Just a bloody doctor. Who is it?
What? Who is what? Mark? Oh, I can't reveal, I guess.
Oh.
I can't reveal. So Mark goes on to email. He goes, hey, guys, love the show. Were you on the huddle, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Hey, I happen to be looking at the monitoring testing from the NFL regarding COVID. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but there were, in the last week, 36,664 texts in the email, in the appearances, and he thinks that there's a lot of, Mark, geez.
He puts in his emails?
No, I'm reading this email, but Paul Emig's texting me.
About what?
He wants to, like, come on and rebuttal a bunch of stuff that I said.
About what, the Brewers? He should do that today, actually. It's got to be before 9:40 a.m. Scott Miller's coming out from Bleacher Report, and he's waking up early for us, too. I was like, Scott, could you do early? And it's 7:30 his time, so we're not gonna push him.
All right, we'll talk to Paul in a second.
Yeah, we talked to Paul every Friday for like 3 hours.
All right, so Mark's email says, my real question is, how come if there are zero confirmed positive tests among players and 5 new confirmed cases among personnel, if there is no COVID, why do coaches still get fined for wearing masks?
I don't know, Mark. You got to ask Roger Goodell that.
Yeah, you got to ask Roger Goodell that. I also think that, hey, a lot of these coaches had COVID. Anthony Lynn had COVID. Gruden joked about it, but then now apparently he did.
Oh, he did?
I guess.
When did he say? Sean Payton had it.
Sean Payton had it, and he got fined for not wearing a mask.
Wait, when did Gruden have COVID, and how did I miss this information?
Because nobody knows. He joked about having COVID.
Yeah.
And then he said he didn't joke, and now the report is he did have COVID.
When? Like months ago?
I saw this 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Hey, I want to give where Horvat was wrong. I was wrong about, you know what, John Gruden, did you see the locker room footage after that victory on Monday night? They have bought in.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm all in on the Raiders.
So this is where Horvat was wrong. I said that was a hire just because they were moving to Las Vegas to make a big pop. You needed a big coaching hire, and you hired John Gruden. I thought the game had passed them by.
No way.
Yeah, they've bought in, man. Those guys love him. I didn't think that they were going to like him in that locker room because you watch Hard Knocks, and it's the, you know, knock twice if you hear me and this and that. I was like, young guys these days, man, this isn't like 1974. They're not going to buy into him and Mike Mayock. And I was wrong. The Raiders, they're building something there. I don't know if
they're drafting a bunch of dudes from Bama and Clemson. Yeah. Where Dabo and Saban coach. Then you go to the NFL and John Gruden's your coach. Oh, you're going to be in for sure.
Yeah, it's like in the NBA, man. I would draft all guys from Nova that played under Jay Wright. So, yeah. And I think they'll probably start now adding LSU to their mix, too. Yeah. So I was wrong on that one. The Raiders may be headed in the right direction.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, Paul Emig ruined the segment, so he'll try. 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, Paul Emig joining us via the Great Midwest Bank hotline. He'll be here for trivia again on Friday. I'm trying to read a very real email from Mark, and I'm reading it on my phone, and Paul's texting me that he wants to rebuttal some of the great takes I've said. Come on, Paul.
Well, had I known in the moment that you were reading a very, very real email from Mark,
yeah,
I would have probably withheld on hitting send. But, you know, when emails are as real as Mark's, you can be distracted, right? Because you're not ad-libbing. Why would you ad-lib a real email? Why would you be improv-ing a real email? So
Shut up. Shut up, Paul.
Yeah, he had a bunch of ums in there, like he was like it was like Craig Counsell was typing it to him.
All right, so you want to from time to time rebuttal some of my takes? which I am disappointed in because I brought this up really out of the blue and I meant it. I feel like I'm very, very on right now. I feel like I'm really hitting sports. Like, here I am yesterday saying, why can't the Packers sign all these guys? The Chiefs figured it out. They got $100,000, and they figured it out. David Bakhtiari, later that afternoon, says the same thing. So I feel like I got the pulse on sports right now, but you'll be the judge of that, I guess.
Well, that's a good take.
Thank you.
I think the thing is, like, you guys have 95%. Okay, 90 to 95%. Good takes. You're a very talented duo. There's no question about it.
Thank you. Wow.
You better put that in the show promo. A very talented duo, according to sports trivia writer Paul Emig.
Paul, will you invest in my new online company before you get into the rebuttal? Would you like to maybe throw in a couple bucks? I'm going to start my own Grantland, like the Ringer.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, all right.
I'd be into that. I need to see a business plan.
I got it.
Me a business plan.
All right, I'll have my people get in touch with your people. All right, rip Bart now because this is always fun.
Yeah, well, so there's two takes, and I'm going to do this every week if I can. I'm going to say, like, okay, you guys are crushing it for 19 hours of your 20 hours together every week, but there's probably an hour in there that's just garbage. So let's hit on those. Let's hit on those Fridays at
9 o'clock.
Yeah, right. So the first one would just be I'm gonna transition this into being a Packers thing, but your general point, and I know you said a little bit this morning, you're kind of jumping on the enjoy the ride bandwagon, but for the most part, your Brewers point is that they're not a good team.
They're not.
Right? That's your point, right?
Yeah.
That is because I think we as fans, we all look at offense, and it's all driven by offense. You were saying that the third best pitching team in all of Major League Baseball and the best pitching team in the National League, the only teams they trail are the Twins and the Indians and the AL, are a bad or a not a good team. And I'm going to transition that into being what when I would cover the Packers and I'd be at every training camp practice and I'd be on the sidelines and the fans in the stands would only cheer good offensive plays. Well, you know what happens when the Packers had a good offensive play in practice? It would be against the Packers defense. And you would never see, like, it would always be like, okay, if there was an interception or a good play by the defense, it was like, ooh, I'm worried about the offense. If there was a good offensive play, like, wow, look, Rodgers over to Jennings. What a great play. That was awesome. And I think there's just this general idea that pitching in baseball, that defense in football, like, if you don't put up a lot of points in football, if you don't put up a lot of runs in baseball, it's like, well, they're not very good. You're saying that about the National League's best pitching team, about Major League Baseball's third overall best pitching team. They're not a great team, obviously. But to say they're not a good team or they're not above average or they shouldn't be 500 or they're – like, I can maybe say it's not as fun to watch a good pitching team. I would prefer watching 8-6 every night. But when you have what should be the Cy Young winner, Corbin Burns, when you have what should be for sure – the reliever of the year in Devin Williams, not to mention Woodruff and Hader, that's an elite pitching team. And even if you have a bad offensive team and an elite pitching team, that's still a good baseball team. Isn't it? I mean, am I off base
on
that?
Well, they got no hit by Alec Mills.
I hear you. And then they put up 19 and they put up 18.
I've been complimentary of their pitching.
What's that?
I've been very complimentary of their pitching.
But then you can't, in summation, say they're not a good team.
All right, so you would rather I say they have a good pitching staff, but their offense sucks?
Sure, that would be more accurate.
All right, I can bend on that one. Yeah,
I can.
You twist my arm, and I can say the pitching staff is good, but offensively, this team is pure trash. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, I didn't sign off on that last part. But, I mean, don't you think like it you shouldn't undervalue one half of the what makes a team good or bad, right?
Hey, Gale Sayers died.
I saw that.
So did
Road Animal.
Rod Rush. Yeah, Road Animal's also passed away. Mm. Very sad
R.I.P.,
day.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, Gale Sayers. I met him one time at a Von Maur.
Yeah, was it in Joliet, Illinois?
No. It wasn't actually.
All right, so I will amend my take.
We don't have a Von Maur.
Good.
So there you go. You have worn me down, Paul.
Got it.
That's
good.
That's got to be the only bad thing I've said then, right?
Now there's one more. Mm. you and this damn Packers draft class.
Oh, it's terrible.
That they win in week one, and you started the show with the draft. Then they win in week two,
yeah.
And within the first 15 minutes, we're talking about the draft again. And then you had a caller call in at one point and say, like, guys, love the show, but stop it with the draft. And I'm like, okay, this could have been one of my burner accounts calling in, for all I know. Why is the – I mean, they're 2-0. They're scored, what, 85 points collectively?
Yep.
And their first two picks haven't – you know, Jordan Love is sitting in street clothes. A.J. Dillon has, what, three total carries, and they're pretty much all in garbage time. Josiah DeGuara was a healthy and active this past week. My question is, like, why does it matter?
Well, here you go. You got a – because everyone's telling me now that every draft has to be for a project. That's the take now. And we love the Rashawn Gary pick, and that was a project. I liked that pick at the time. The Jordan Love pick, people that hated it then have now convinced themselves that they like it because drafting is for a project and rookies don't make an impact right away. Cough, cough, Elgton Jenkins. I think that, you know, this season, yes, we're 2-0. I'm as high as the Packers as anybody. I think they're going to beat the Saints by double digits this week. I'm very high on the Packers right now. But with this battle of attrition that we're seeing, you're going to need guys to step up and fill those roles. And you're going to need a guy. What they did in the draft was they traded up for a first-round pick. So they traded up to get a guy that's not going to play for 3 years. Not only did they sacrifice getting whoever that could have been in the first round, they also gave up another fourth-round pick. You know, the second-round pick is going to play sparingly. Their third-round pick is going to play a little bit. Their fifth-round pick is hurt. You know, thank goodness they're getting production out of one of their sixth-round picks in Runyon. I just, with the Packers draft, I think just because they're 2-0, I think that people are going out of their way to defend the Packers when they don't have to. Like, Brian Gutekunst, they don't need to even talk. They don't need a PR thing because fans will always come around to say whatever the Packers did is good.
Yeah, it happens in every sport. You have your PR fans, as it were. But I personally would ascribe to the belief or prescribe to the idea that you shouldn't ever, like, the prevailing thought, and you guys do say this a lot, and this isn't a bad take, it's just one I disagree with, is, well, you could have filled some needs at least. I truly don't believe that you should ever, 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 ever draft for need. You should go into free agency for need, for immediate need, right? You should, when you draft, and again, if you get Elgton Jenkins, it's not because you think he's going to be a superstar in week one of his rookie season. It's because he's going to be an all-pro by year two, by year three, by year four.
Paul, let me cut you off real quick. Patrick Queen had 9 tackles in week two and a sack week one. That's you wouldn't want to fill that need?
And Chris Barnes had 8 tackles in week one, like some guy you've never even heard of.
What did Chase Claypool do at the receiver position? 3 grabs, 88 yards, and a touchdown? Another guy I wanted? I have to disagree. What do you mean? Because you don't have money for free agency every year, especially after last season. So they just don't fill any holes and go into the season with the same roster that got ran all over by the 49ers, a game away from the Super Bowl? I don't know.
Much to Bart's point and much to David Bakhtiari's point, you always have money for free agency. The question is whether or not you're good enough at cap math to figure it out. Like, right. That's why you go get Christian Kirksey. That's why you re-sign a Mercedes Lewis so you can kind of staple the tight end position together for a couple of years while Jay Sternberger figures out not how to drop every other pass.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this was a great draft. Oh, my God. They crushed it because they got a future quarterback maybe and a future running back maybe. I just think that you should fill needs in other ways than the draft. If you get a rookie to come in and be outstanding in year one, that's bonus points. Like, that is, Darnell Savage had a pretty good rookie season. Elgton Jenkins had a terrific rookie season. If John Runyon keeps playing like this, he'll be an A-plus pick as a sixth rounder in just 1 year. But, like, the draft should be for 2 to 7 years.
But it's not like they got Jordan Herbert or Justin Herbert. They got Jordan Love. Just because they drafted a quarterback doesn't mean he's good.
No, it doesn't mean he's good. And I have never once argued, man, Jordan Love's going to have a heck of an NFL career. I just like the idea that you're not drafting for tomorrow to fill a need. NFL GMs, the best thing that can happen is that you fill a need while also getting the best player available who can contribute early in their career. Because you want them to contribute while they're cheap. Like, rookie contracts are cheap. So, yeah, that's the overall point.
That's Bart, not me doing that to you.
That's our fans.
I just thought you could have waited on your quarterback of the future one more year when you're not coming off an NFC title appearance, because I like the quarterback prospects next year. I like Trey Lance out of North Dakota State more than I like Jordan Love, if you want to go the small school route. I like Tanner Morgan from Minnesota more than I like Jordan Love. I like Jamie Newman from Georgia, formerly of Wake Forest, more. I like Kyle Trask from Florida, 6'5", 239 pounds. Why are we so sold on Jordan Love, who led the FBS in turnovers?
Because the Packers had two good Hall of Fame quarterbacks before him. Ipso facto, Jordan Love's going to be a sure thing. Packer fans.
I agree, though, Paul. I don't want to talk about the draft anymore because Bart brings it up and then I get crushed about it for some reason because one pick in Packers history I didn't like.
Well, yeah, no, I get it. It's just like, and I don't know these college quarterbacks nearly like you do, Horvath. Like, that's your bread and butter. I think you probably would have had a different opinion had Jordan Love come out a year earlier, though, right? Had you not seen his season last year?
I don't hate Jordan Love. I think he's going to be like a 3 or 4 year project, which you could say is good because that means you get to hold on to Rodgers, but I just don't think there's any guarantee that he's going to be any good. Not that there is with any starting quarterback, but I don't know, man. You watched Joe Burrow last year and you're like, okay, that's an NFL quarterback. He's got all the confidence in the world. It's just with Jordan Love, there's just so much to work. Maybe Matt LaFleur, I think Matt LaFleur just wanted a project.
Bart, your bad take isn't Jordan Love related. It's they're 2-0. They scored 85 points. Would they be like a percent better had they had Justin Jefferson running those routes instead of Valdez Scantling? Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, it's Sports Radio. I got to complain about something.
Come on. Cool it. The Packers should have done this or that in the draft.
Bye, Paul. We'll talk to you Friday.
All right. I look forward to your other 19 hours of terrific takes.
Okay.
All right.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.